Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Clothes, your boots, and your motorcycle.
A 29-year-old female diagnosed as acute schizoaffective disorder. She believes that a machine called a Terminator was sent back through time to kill her.
My son, he's in great danger.
Are you the legal guardian of John Connor?
What's he done now?
There was a guy here this morning looking for him, too.
Yeah, big guy on a bike.
I wouldn't worry about him.
Get down.
Who sent you?
You did. 35 years from now, you reprogrammed me to be your protector here.
He's a Terminator like you, right?
Not like me. A T-1000. Advanced prototype.
Kill us all!
Go! Come with me if you want to live. We don't have much time. Excellent.
It's definitely you.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Chill out, dickwad. Perfect, nailed it. Hi, I'm Sebastian.
This is the vehicle stop speed. I'm Andy Schossler.
I'm Jordan, and I need your clothes, your boots, your motorcycle, some directions, some spare change if you have any would be fantastic.
And welcome to our review of, okay, hear me out. Is it T2 or Terminator 2 Judgment Day or Terminator Judgment Day? Because I'm seeing so many variations of this title. I'm going to say Terminator 2 Judgment Day, though.
I think it was abbreviated when it was referred to in the marketing as T2.
Yeah.
I think officially it's Terminator 2 Judgment Day, right?
Yeah, it's Terminator 2. That's right.
That just helps me label the episode when we're done with it. Because I'm like, oh, good God. Because
Really, Seb, why don't you just stay consistent? You know, you use the T2 music for last week's episode, which was Terminator. Why not just call this one the Terminator 2? Everybody knows what is going on.
This is so
the Terminator 2, T-double-O. This is the Terminator 2.
I can't explain how tempting it was to put the T1 music onto the intro for this episode to see if it upset you. But I didn't do it.
Because I would have upset
one
me.
Out of three ain't bad. Yeah,
right. because it's like saying playing the theme to the Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Yeah, we're watching T2, but here's some Roger Rabbit music.
It's consistent. That beat is consistently like the Terminator theme throughout the entire franchise though, right? I just picked the best version of that theme.
Sure, it's a leitmotif, but the actual clip that you used last week was not from the Terminator.
Yeah, but
it was from T2.
But it's the Terminator music. Like Duel of the Fates is not from all the Star Wars movies. It's from the
Star Wars music. No, and if you use Duel of the Fates in your review of Rise of Skywalker,
people will be like, thank you for picking the best possible song for us to hear during this review.
Sebastian, it would be inappropriate.
But it would be good.
No, because nothing about Rise of Skywalker was good.
Oh, wait, no.
Is they should have played the Cantina one? Music, yeah. Then it would have been a better movie.
If I did the Cantina music yes. for all of them.
Yes. That's more consistently Star Wars, because at least it's a leitmotif of the Mos Eisley Cantina.
So, okay, if
which
I
is had... not specific to any one film, but pretty much a New Hope, although it could theoretically be in any of them.
Okay, so you're saying that if I mixed 9 different intros for 9 different Star Wars movies and I put the Mos Eisley Canteen theme into all of them, that would be acceptable. However,
it would be less
one
annoying.
But this song is literally just a reamp of the T1 theme, and it's used in the next 27 Terminator movies. Like it's the same song.
It really is.
Oh, I feel like I can't win, but it's like I'm not being unreasonable for once. It's you.
Okay. Okay. No. This is putting the T2 theme on an episode for The Terminator is like doing a Star Wars episode and having the Richard Cheese Lounge version of the Cantina song.
That's
instead of the Cantina song.
I'm actually okay with that.
Seb, it's just a different version of it.
No, that's fine. No, I accept that take on it. Okay, but that's still, I put the best version of that song in here. Like, sure. I think there's a lot of versions of that Terminator theme. I actually genuinely prefer the T2 version, because I literally search Terminator theme song and you'll be surprised how much that one comes up over everyone. I don't think I'm alone, but I think
of course.
Best soundtrack for this film.
But I like the soundtrack from the Terminator a lot better than this one.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's suffered. T2 is pretty good, but it suffers from that sequel. You wouldn't call it a curse, but that sequel funneling where you are tempted to use more of the stuff that worked really well in the first one and you take fewer risks. So, yeah, you get a lot more of that variations on that theme. You don't get the bloom of the whole garden just left to nature like you did in T1 for the soundtrack. T2 is very focused. It's these plants worked really nicely and we'll just plant those in this garden.
This is sort of a point I'm more likely to bring up in full next week when we review T3. But what? Was that you spitting on that movie? But I find it really weird that this film has its own little callbacks to T1, and so does T3. But in this film, it comes across as charming and kind of nice. Yes. Whereas in T3, it just instantly made me annoyed.
That'll make
rolling
us some
your
money.
Eyes a little bit.
Like, this movie just felt like it was a consistent thing. Yep. Whereas next movie, it does feel like a bit of a, look, we're doing it. We're doing the Terminator.
Remember
thing.
The good old days?
Yeah. And
he's going to say the line. Are you guys ready? Yep. Are you guys ready for the line? He's going to say the line.
I need your clothes and a gun.
Give me all your shit.
You have a nice hat. I don't know. Whatever. But I guess that would be more of a point for T3, because in this film, it works well.
It does.
But yeah, do you want to get into some old trivias? What do you reckon?
Absolutely.
I assume you've got these.
Seb, the trivia
cocked
is-
and loaded with trivia.
Pouring out.
Can I talk about ears?
Ears?
Ears.
Whose ears?
Robert Patrick's ears. Yeah. I don't have the full explanation up, so I just want to say he was running with his ears. And Andrew, I'm sure you have the actual trivia. Is that true?
He did spend a lot of time training to be able to run, sprint essentially, with his mouth closed, breathing only through his nose for that kind of sinister mechanical look. In fact, he was so good at it, in multiple takes, he would actually catch up to Edward Furlong riding on his dirt bike just while running.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Because he got crazy good at running.
It's very good. Terminator 2 carries an 8.5 on IMDb. Very popular film. Rotten Tomatoes confirms that with a 93% critical, 94% audience. People love this film.
Higher rated than the first one, isn't it?
Well, the first Terminator has an 89% score from the audience and 100% critical score. I've never seen 100% critical score before.
That's crazy.
Yep. But that's Terminator, and it is a perfect film. So really, I'm not surprised. but very popular. Budget of $102 million.
Oof.
So
it'd be a lot for an early 90s film.
Yes. Well, it was one of the most expensive films made at the time. And at a budget of $102 million, it was $96 million more expensive than the Terminator film.
Jesus. Just a bit of an increase. Yeah.
And it made a lot more, but obviously not as a share of its thing.
Sure.
So the first Terminator made $78 million off a budget of $6.5 million. This one made $520 million off a budget of $100 million. So already, you know, the Terminator made 12 times its budget. This one made 5 times its budget. T3 made twice its budget. So maybe it made its money back after marketing. And once you hear the clauses in Arnie's contract for that one,
I can imagine.
Just wait for that next week.
Wait for next week's movie?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fine.
The trivia is basically about how Arnie screwed the producers for all that he could.
That's all right. I love contract talk.
Anyway, T2, it won 4 Oscars.
Yeah, I was looking into that. That's really weird. Like, best for an visual action movie, you wouldn't expect it to be like Oscar bait.
Well, still, I mean, it's James Cameron, and he does like to push the envelope, and the visual effects are...
Oh, they're fantastic.
Out of this world. You know, it's like Jurassic Park level of CG stuff. It's just so memorable. So it won best visual effects, best sound mixing, best makeup and hairstyling, and best sound editing.
I just read...
They're all great.
While looking for the trivia that I think I may have made up in my own head about Robert Patrick basing his neck movements off a bald eagle. So that's sort of... Which I would think more like an owl, except with the backwards part. That's fucked.
Maybe, but an eagle kind of makes sense because an eagle is, you know, hunting and it doesn't want to give away its position. Yeah.
I'm trying to find this ear thing and I can't find it.
It's funny. I mean, Arnie's approach to... sort of getting into character of the Terminator was just to practice movements over and over again until they essentially became automatic and very mechanical. You know, he would just have that muscle memory of doing things, cocking guns and things. It would just all be on automatic. Whereas Robert Patrick, based it on the movements of the bald eagle.
It also says here that he trained himself to fire a gun without blinking.
Arnie did that too. And I suppose all of them have to do that.
Yeah, fuck that.
Although the T-1000 relies less on using firearms.
He's a knifey boy.
Which is an interesting concept. It's an interesting way to take the Terminator.
Yeah, definitely. It always stuck with me in my childhood as well. I was like, that's the cool Terminator. God, what happened to Robert Patrick?
He did interesting stuff.
It's weird that
he actually reprised the T-1000. In both
Wayne's World
and Last Action Hero.
And debatably, John Cena's the Marine.
All right. Okay.
They're being chased by, he's the bad guy in that movie. He's like, the head bad guy. And they're being chased by John Cena. And they, for some reason, they cannot drop this guy. Because he's John Cena. And there's this line like, what is he, a Terminator? And they do this thing where they cut to like Robert Patrick looking in the rear vision mirror right into the camera. So I like to think that was him. But he had a really weird career in a sense that...
He did a couple of movies after that. I think he was a detective on a police show.
I just want to point out his
like one of those CSI.
I really don't recognize him from anything else. Well, I guess is like his iconic role, I guess. So I suppose I'm sort of not supposed to.
He didn't stop working after this, obviously. Yeah.
But he went more just like not all, but a lot of straight to DVD things. That's something like he went from like this, which should have been like a star launching career in this film.
You look at Arnie's resume, and through all of the 2000s, it was just flop after flop.
Mm.
No, sure they made a little bit of money, but you know they just were not memorable films at all.
Well, over this way, Robert Patrick's 4 films listed on IMDb, like his 4 most well-known films: Terminator 2, Judgment Day,
obviously,
The Faculty, which I actually love that movie.
Yeah.
He's the coach. I believe he's the coach of the football team. Charlie's Angels, Full Throttle. That's right, bad Charlie's Angels film.
Yeah,
and the 4th movie. John Cena's The Marine.
Nice.
That movie that you, until this moment, had not heard of.
It's definitely the role he's best remembered for.
He's good in the Marine, by the way. He's unequivocally the best actor in that film.
Right.
Because he's the only, because he's not, it's early days John Cena. And actually, you know what? It's a fun movie and maybe one day we'll review all the Marine movies. Yeah. Actually, you would,
it's okay.
Weirdly, that might be the niche to get Andrew into wrestling. Because they all star a wrestler, but
they're
all
these 90s You've been trying to find an angle for that for a long time, Seb, and I don't know if you're going to get a successful one. But
I love 90s action films.
I like The Rock. I like, you know, Dwayne Johnson in films. He's pretty good. I haven't seen Skyscraper, but from what I've heard, it was just a generic action
thing.
Very
silly, but it's fun.
Yeah, but I like him. Yeah, he's a very he's like Arnie. He's just, you want to go up to him and give him a hug.
Yeah.
And just, yes, I would love to share a
joke. I
want
to go up
you.
And try to hug him, but I don't think my arms are that long.
Exactly right. But he just, what I mean is he seems very friendly and approachable.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure he's busy as hell.
John Cena's name in the Marine is John Triton, and I guarantee that's so he'd know that people were talking to him.
So Arnie as well is not without skills, and he spent weeks and weeks mastering that rotating single-handed cocking of the rifle. And he tore his hand up a few times just from getting his hand locked up in the mechanism. He nearly knocked out Edward Furlong a few times, just from, you know, misfiring the thing as it comes around. But it's a good move and it does look cool.
Speaking of, what did that kid get up to afterwards?
Robert. Lots of meth.
Yeah? Wouldn't surprise me.
I don't know if it was meth specifically. But
we're talking about Edward Furlong, are we?
Yeah.
Let me see if he did any other good movies. He was in American History X.
Oh, there you go.
Yes, he was, yeah.
I'm just going off the four movies at the very top of his thing. But obviously, this one.
He hasn't done much.
Detroit Rock City, which I've never heard of, and A Home of Our Own, which I've heard of, and I thought it was a TV show, but apparently it was not. Oh, he was referenced in the latest in Terminator Dark Fate.
They did
like a CGI body double because he gets shot in the face in 10 seconds.
Stupid film.
But it looks like a lot of nothing.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Seems to be the case for most 90s child actors.
He was in CSI New York.
He was in a rehabilitation clinic.
Yeah.
He was up for reprising his role as John Connor 10 years on in T3. Yeah. But because of the substance abuse, alleged substance abuse, right. The producers kind of said, nah.
I mean, you can't really do worse than Nick Stahl or whatever his name was.
He wasn't the problem in T3.
The script
was the problem. Yeah.
Just the whole everything, if we can blame everything.
And Linda Hamilton, also not without skills. The scene where she's picking the lock when she's escaping from the hospital, she genuinely learned how to pick locks and is genuinely picking that lock.
Very cool.
When it's happening.
Oh, she's in Dark Fate.
Yeah.
Is she starring in Dark Fate?
Linda Hamilton.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's Sarah Connor. She's Sarah.
But it's her.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, yes.
Good.
Yeah.
That movie might be better.
Yeah.
No? It's like I wouldn't be so shocked if it wasn't.
Give it too much credit, Seb.
So visual effects, right? T-1000. There is 3.5 minutes of screen time of the T-1000.
Really? Is that all?
That's all. Of him like morphing and doing all the visual effecty stuff, you know.
Right.
Robert Patrick actually gets a lot more.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just all the visual effects and, you know, of this thing blob coming around out of the fire and knives and things. So all those things, 3.5 minutes of screen time of those. Cost $5.5 million to do that alone. So 5% of the budget just on the T-1000 effects. And Industrial Light and Magic took 8 months to complete it. They had to grow their VFX team from 6 to 36 just to make it on time for release. Isn't that incredible? But totally paid off because it still looks good today.
Yeah, it's really
30 years on, it still looks amazing.
I only specifically caught one special effect in the entire watch. Obviously, you know when they're using special effects because old mates are
metallic blob.
Yeah, exactly.
You're talking about the one in the helicopter?
No, the one I caught was when John's foster parents have been taken over, and he's talking to his fake foster mom, and she kills the dad.
Yeah,
she's got this shot where her hand comes from a blade, turns from a blade back into her hand,
yeah.
And she's looking at it while on the phone, and you can tell that her hand, when it's back to being a human hand, is just on some different plane of existence too.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, like maybe it was just because it was blown up so big on my TV, but it was almost like I could see like that weird, almost faint white line around her hand. In front of her body, like you could tell, like it was just
possibly
not there. Because I was like, "Oh, I wonder how they went from turning it in from blade into hand."
Yeah.
I'm like, and then it was back into normal hand, but it wasn't. I think it was a CGI hand.
It's a pretty clean morph, and I would imagine the white line you saw was just like the glimmer of light or something that it was supposed to be off the.
It looked like an effect from a 3D movie for me. Like it actually just looked like it was in the foreground. But I mean, technically it was, but it was only like we're talking like 10 centimeters into the foreground. Like it shouldn't feel like it was.
Yeah. Right.
I'll see if I can pull up the scene later just to show you. But I mean, it didn't take me out of the movie. Like, this is a movie from the 90s. It looks incredible. But yeah.
One thing I didn't know is that Michael Biehn, who plays Kyle Reese in The Terminator, was originally considered to play the T-1000 to be a reverse role. And how good would that have been?
Yeah, that would have been cool.
You know, how could you have played up with that? He comes up to Sarah and, oh, Kyle, what the hell are you doing here? And stabby, stabby.
Yeah.
Would have been great. That was poo-pooed by the producers, who just basically dismissed it as being too confusing for the audience.
Yeah.
How little do you think of your audience that would be confusing? Well, you get a nice little reveal that Arnie is now a good guy instead of a bad guy, and it takes 30 seconds to explain it on film, and it's brilliant. It's a nice scene.
What could have been?
Mm. Exactly right. I mean, Robert Patrick did a great job.
Yeah, he's great in it. That would have been really cool, though.
I found it, boys. I found the scene. It's just this one shot. It's hard. I mean, I've frozen it, but when it turns, her blade arm turns back into a hand, and they cut it so you can't see the hand above the elbow, and you can just tell like the hand is just not there.
Yeah, like the movement around it's a little bit funky.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, this movie gets by zero stars.
Nitpick Seb.
No, zero stars. It took me out of the movie.
I couldn't believe any of it after that. T-1000, my ass.
Yep.
James Cameron didn't want the trailer to be just unfinished bits of the film mulled together. So he set aside $150,000 for Stan Winston to make a trailer specifically. And what he ended up coming up with was just the T-800 endoskeleton coming off an assembly line and just being very menacing and you know, not revealing anything about the story.
Not the trailer that I used because it didn't help.
And it ran for a year before. In fact, it was shown as a trailer when Total Recall was being premiered in cinemas. How about that? And then closer to the date, they started to hype up, you know, Arnie as being the good guy. So it wasn't a total shock, but it was still nice to see. Couple of twins in this.
Yeah.
Why do parents do this? Don and Dan Stanton are the
Donald and Daniel, I guess, sounds less maybe. Alike.
Okay, but they go by Don and Dan.
Well, that's their choice.
Yeah,
that?
But their parents kind of, you know, open that door. That and Linda and Leslie Hamilton both play twins, and both sets of twins play a T-1000 and its victim.
That's handy, though.
Yeah.
It's handy that Linda Hamilton had a twin for this movie.
Yeah. Very handy. In a deleted scene, she's also being operated on or something. And obviously, instead of doing the visual effect, I think the camera sort of pans around the mirror or something. So they just had two twins sitting opposite a frame rather than using a mirror to do it.
That's clever.
Just rewatching. Yeah,
but it's a deleted scene, and I think I've only ever seen it once.
I'm just rewatching the T2 teaser right now with the making of the actual thing. It's good.
It's good.
It's
solid. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, to be fair, he effectively made a short minute and a half film for $150,000. It should look fucking good.
For the Spanish dub, Hasta la Vista was translated as Sayonara, baby, to keep the joke. Yeah.
All good.
I think that was rather nice. And are you interested at all in why August 29th was chosen as Judgment Day?
Yes, very.
Give me a minute. I was going to Google August 29th.
Why, Seb?
Because
come on.
It autocorrected to 1977. Is that Judgment Day?
97 is Judgment Day.
97?
Yeah.
Yeah, I typed August 29 and it auto prompts to 1977. I just
no, 1997.
This is 9... I can't... I'm being dyslexic. It was 1997. It was the thing I'm trying to say, but not the thing that I'm saying. What happened on this date? Oh, Netflix launches as an internet DVD rental service. Oh, that is that year.
Judgment there, right?
It was chosen because it was the anniversary of the Soviet Union's first detonation of an atomic bomb in 1949. And you wonder why not make it the first detonation completely of anywhere, which was July 16th, 1945 by the US. But I kind of get it because August 29th rolls off the tongue very nicely.
It does, yeah.
July 16th is a bit close to July the 4th, Independence Day, and you know, August separates it very nicely for that reason.
That's really interesting.
In 1966, same date, the Beatles performed their last concert before paying fans at the Candlestick Park in San Francisco.
Oh.
So maybe 66? That was...
66?
That's what it says.
I thought they were still together in 1970.
Oh, I might be being dyslexic. Let's swap those sixes around. It's 1966. I think it's apt that literally Netflix launched...
The same day?
Yeah. The death of cinema.
Well, if you've been following Netflix news, they may have taken a very steep financial hit from their Cuties release.
Oh, did they?
Well, a lot of subscribers went off them.
I mean, like, I'm just not going to watch it because it's weird.
A stupid idea for a film.
Do you guys want to know what fun births happened that year? So it was 1977, right? No, 1997. Fuck. I can do this, guys. I can do this. No one famous was born on that day.
What a shame.
I mean, the closest appropriate was 1995. Frank Perry, who was a director, was born. That's the closest one. Oh, this is terrible. Oh, it's Miners' Day in the Ukraine.
Nice.
Why do miners get a day?
It's Municipal Police's Day in Poland.
Oh, very nice.
International Day Against Nuclear Tests. It's probably linked to the one.
Excellent. There you go. That's nice. Although I would imagine that came after the film.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, after the film or just after the Russian thing that started, that gave them date.
Maybe. But why single out the Russians?
Because they deserve it.
The US actually used nuclear. They're the only country to have used nuclear weapons.
It was established in 2009. There so much after. Okay. Yeah. Too late, guys. It already happened.
And Arnie, being the shrewd businessman that he was, for accepting the role, producer Mario Casa gave him a slightly used Gulfstream 3 jet valued at somewhere in the vicinity of $14 million.
Jesus.
For accepting
just for role. Saying yes.
I will accept just the engine of that to do anything. Just one of the wings. Oh, fuck me, that'd set us up.
Yeah.
How annoying it is that you could sell the wing of a plane and just be set for life.
Well, I mean, you have to find somebody to sell it to. And yeah. who's going to buy
who's
just
in the
a
market
wing?
For a wing?
The exactly. person who has the rest of the plane without the wing.
Oh, I've been searching for this for so long.
It matches, the serial numbers match.
I would imagine their legal team would do away with any profits very quickly.
Oh, God. Is there any more trivia or do we get into the actual
review? There's plenty more trivia, but they're the only things that I found interesting.
Oh,
If you want to know more about T2, yeah, popular films have people writing about them.
You didn't even once read the running with his ears thing.
Nope.
I can't find it, but I remember reading that Robert Patrick.
Maybe you made this up, Seb.
Yeah, it may not be trivia, Seb. It may not be real.
He described the way that he would move his head and his body is that his ears would always have to be on center with where he was going.
Sure.
So he would run as if his ears were like pivoted spots against.
But I don't think that had so much to do with his ears as it was just a reference for him. Yeah, he said that.
He ran with his ears. Okay, that's what I'm saying. Most people do like with their legs and their arms.
But he ran with his ears. He has very long ears.
He said it. I'm not on trial here. I'm just repeating a thing that I read once.
I know you believe that he said it, Seb. I'm not questioning that.
I can't even Google it. I can't see it. Also, my A button still doesn't work. So it's like Robert
runs with his ears.
So T2, excellent.
This is a fun one.
I really enjoyed it.
Bar scene, good intro to Arnie. Mm. riding on a bike.
Anytime you start a movie with a guy going full dong in a bar.
Well, actually, that's,
you're off to a good start.
That does bring me to my first point. Negative 10 stars for this film. We got some dong sway in the first film. There was some shaft. There was a bit of a pendulum swing. There is zero dong in this film.
Seb, if
the audience has come to expect Arnie dong,
if you did not deliver, if you are crazy for some Arnie dong, I can put you in touch with a website that caters exclusively to your tastes.
Arniedong.com.
Are you suggesting that there is a specific website only dedicated to Arnie's dong?
I'm saying there are multiple.
Oh, okay. Ooh.
In fact, there are some websites where you can even have an in-person demonstration.
I'm not after more dong. I'm just saying in
you
the
seem
first
to be talking
film,
about his dong quite a bit,
I'm
though.
I'm comparing it to
and
the original
being
film.
Disappointed at yes. the lack of dong sway in T2 makes me think,
well, because you can't give someone dong in T1 and then just take it away.
It's like Chekhov's gun, okay? You see the dong in Act
if
1
you show
or
it,
movie
you
1.
You must shoot it.
Yeah. I was actually more just surprised to see dong in the first film, to be honest. If I'm going to be like, because I hadn't seen Terminator 1 until we reviewed it.
There's no dong in the first one.
There absolutely was.
No, it's just Arnie in the buff from behind.
I've got to search this to prove you wrong. Terminator 1.
And the plan dong. To have okay, Arnie's dong in Seb's search history is complete.
Mission accomplished. We got him.
So great opening scene for the bar. In fact, it was
really good.
Suggested by the producers when the budget started inflating that scene be cut. And Arnie, you know, they tried to recruit Arnie to convince James Cameron to cut the bar scene introducing the Terminator all over. And he said, yeah, only a studio guy would do a stupid thing like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's a great scene.
Yeah.
Can't help with this conversation. I'm searching for dong. I've got the scene where he's running up to the thugs. They cut it for the YouTube version.
I mean, it's just as memorable.
YouTube's always censoring dongs. Unbelievable.
It's just as memorable as the Terminator introduction in the first one where he beats up the punks.
Yeah.
And it's just as violent. It's not bloody, but it's just as violent. You know, he's tossing guys through windows. A guy lands on a hot plate.
They cut it. Sorry.
The dogs.
It's this long shot of him walking up to the thugs and he's fully in frame and he walks up and just before he steps into the light, it cuts back to the thugs. My version must be like the dong cut or something because it had some dick in it. And that's not a complaint. It's fine. I'm just saying the version that I have is different to the YouTube version.
Look, if I'm paying for this movie, put the dong shot back in.
Yeah.
Come on, YouTube.
Hashtag release the dong cut. I don't know. Like, is that going to...
Congratulations, Seb.
I feel like we could get that trending.
It's fine. But, somebody uploaded a bootleg version. I can prove my point. They've also lit it up, which is cheating.
Just look up Arnie's dick. There's a Playboy picture of him.
I'm not after Arnie's dick. I'm after his dick in this one scene. It's different.
It's a very specific request. I don't care for nice, professionally shot Playgirl photos. I just want the one little shot from the movie.
We were talking off air before you got here, Jordan, about...
about you.
No. About comparing T2 and T3. And I was...
Dong Sway! I've seen it! Jordan, come bask in the glory of the Dong Sway.
In fact, all three Terminator films.
There it is.
Yep. Confirmed dong.
Fine.
Okay.
Can we put it aside now?
No.
Sure. Can we put it to bed?
Yeah, it's done.
Yeah?
It's done.
Good.
Please, as you were.
Where were we? Sorry, dong on the brain.
I just felt like a crazy person. Like, did I imagine his dick? Why would I do that? I gaslit myself.
I'm happy that you're
as
happy,
you were,
Sam.
Andy.
It's just nice to know I'm not crazy.
Basically going off that old adage of less is more, right? Number one, obviously it's made on a budget and James Cameron has to be very creative in how he, you know, does things. And so when the time travelers are introduced, it's just electrical effects. You don't see anything of, you know, it's just a flash of light and there they are.
Sure.
Right? They arrive. T2, it's a little bit more elaborate. There's still the electricity, but you get there is a shot of this sphere appearing and basically burning everything in its radius. And Arnie's there. And okay, it's still fairly simple. You know, maybe we didn't need that because the introduction of the T-1000 is perfect. Mm. You've got the cop there who is investigating this circular cut out of the fence. It's still hot. And that's all it needed to be. Mm. You know, less is more. Your imagination is much more powerful than anything you can show. Mm. And then T3 completely screws it up by being very computer graphic-y and gamey.
Yeah.
It just looks silly.
It's not fantastic.
And T2, for that reason, okay, it's not exactly less is more, but it still leaves a little bit to subtlety.
It doesn't imagination.
It doesn't show every single little, you know, detail going on.
As we've established, it doesn't show every single detail. It's different. It's concise. It's, if you will, a more subtle package than the first film.
After that, we're introduced to John Connor, who is now a young boy in a foster home.
I do love an early 90s, "You're not my real dad," kid.
Yeah, he's so slappable in this film, for the most part. He gets better.
He really is a brat and a little... there are other words we could use to describe exactly what he is.
He's lucky that this film came out when it did and not when Phantom Menace did, because he would have gotten the same treatment that little Annie did.
I don't think so.
People didn't like his performance in this. It's a very big complaint that Edward Furlong is the most annoying thing in the world in this film. I just feel like
in the first act before he fucking...
Oh, he gets a lot better.
Gets his wits about him.
But the point of T2 was that the Terminator was coming after him when he was vulnerable, when he was a boy.
Yep.
When you take all the pomp and circumstance away from this movie, it's really just about a couple of weird old dudes vying for the attention of a 13-year-old boy. So.
No.
Wasn't that an Oscar? Didn't that win an Oscar a couple of years ago? What's it called? What is that movie?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh God!
I feel like I have a vague idea of what you're talking about.
The two popes?
No, you do the film thing, I'll do the wrong film thing. It won an Oscar.
Actually, one real beef I do have with this film, and okay, so many of it's not faultless, and the faults that it does have are tiny nitpicks, right? But they're all forgiven because the movie is just so terrific. It's so good. But why does the T-1000 have Robert Patrick's face? I know it has Robert Patrick's face because that's who was cast, but the movie doesn't really... He doesn't encounter a Robert Patrick cop.
Yeah,
he doesn't take on his identity.
I just accepted it.
Yeah, he doesn't slip into anything. It's just like that's the default setting from Skynet manufacturing. Yeah. And why that face specifically?
Same reason that Arnie's face is. Well, we find out why.
I know, and I think it's a good thing that they don't explain it, because they do explain why Arnie looks the way he does in T3, and it's completely stupid.
Right. Call Me by Your Name is the movie I was referencing, but it's not about two older men; it's about one older man chasing after a young boy.
Yeah, fine.
It's fine. It was topical two Oscars ago, three Oscars ago, 2018. Yeah, I guess it's just the default. It's probably just the fucking face of the CEO or something. Skynet CEO.
No, I'm
a generic cop man.
It's not a complaint that they didn't do it. It's just a little gripe as to, okay, there's no attempt for the movie to
explain it.
To explain why, you know, it's not like that's the first person he runs into. He's not assuming somebody's identity to make his search a little bit easier. He just slips in, and that's the face, and there we go.
Did the TX in the next film, I'm trying to remember, it rocked up as the blonde chick, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Because it wasn't a blank robot and then became the blonde girl. It was the blonde
girl.
Well,
she's a mimicky thing as well, so she can be anybody.
Which begs the question, why?
I know.
Always have the same face. You should always, I mean, realistically, they should always be looking like someone else all the time, so you don't know exactly. It should be like the monster from It Follows.
Yeah.
Mm.
As opposed to just always Robert Patrick.
Yeah, so you have no idea who's coming. Yeah.
And the idea that it never once tried to be Arnie in this film is weird.
I mean, it's kind of clever that for the most part, the T-1000 disguises itself as a cop because that's a symbol of authority and of trust and whatever. You know, it's a bit
easy to weave yourself in and out of situations.
And all, yeah, the access that, that you gain. I mean, he just shows up at the hospital and the girl is ready to buzz him in and just say, yeah, you're a little bit late, but there you go. You doesn't have to flash any credentials. You doesn't have to say any passwords or any give any names. That's just it. He shows up and I'm here to see Sarah
Uniforms,
Connor.
My credentials, baby.
Exactly right. Some good old social engineering. It's a very clever monster.
Mm. Yes. No, I agree.
I was waiting to see where you were going with that, but I feel like you were genuinely just like, yes.
So then we're...
In my head, I was thinking about how unrealistic his cop outfit was that he wasn't attacking minorities. That's what I was trying to segue into that, but I couldn't think of it. And then you made a good point. And I was like, yeah, that shit, that's true.
We're reintroduced to...
I appreciate that you tried to get that joke in
there. I tried to be, a little bit modern with my... Yeah. It didn't work. Well, I mean, you get what I'm saying.
We're reintroduced to Sarah Connor, who is now, as a consequence of having her life changed around and being chased by this Terminator, has been training, is still going on about this Terminator thing. She hasn't recanted anything that's happened, and she's been put in an insane asylum because obviously what she's saying is just so crazy. It can't possibly be true. There was no evidence. There was no whatever. So she's there for treatment the whole time.
Quick question. I may have forgotten at the end of T1. What actually happened to Kyle Reese?
He's died.
Did he in that movie or did he die in between movies?
No. He's there beating up the Terminator with its bum leg.
Yep.
Right? It's sort of climbing the stairs. He shoves in the last bit of dynamite and that explodes. As a consequence of that explosion, the Terminator loses its legs completely.
Yep.
Just torn apart and is, incapacitated for a little bit. But Kyle Reese dies.
Okay, I must have just glossed over that.
Sarah gets a bit of shrapnel in her leg and she kind of crawls over to him and just, he's dead.
Okay, all good. I was just trying to work out.
He sacrifices himself for Sarah.
Oh, and their baby.
Mm. Well, he didn't know that.
Wee baby.
Well, we did, I guess.
Eventually.
Yeah. I like that he visits her in this film in what I can best describe as literally a Freddy Krueger nightmare sequence.
Yeah, that, I had that exact same thing like in that first like dream where she like sees all the kids and stuff. I'm like, this feels like a Nightmare on Elm Street.
like the same hazy.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
It is her dreaming though.
It's all like in like weird slow motion. The kids are really creepy. Yeah.
If they were fucking singing, it would have sold me. You could actually, if you dubbed in the singing over that, it would fit into any.
Once judgment day is coming for you, bitch. You're going to get it.
So you specifically.
The movie takes its time setting up everybody and introducing all the characters, but it's not done in a boring way. There's a little bit of action.
No, like it's quite a long movie, but it kind of like just whizzed past for me.
Yeah.
Way to drop the lead on my favorite character though, Miles Dyson.
He's coming. We're not up to Miles Dyson yet.
I love Miles.
There's a lot to get through before that. we've got the T-1000 who is going after John. And we're told that a big biker, who we know as Arnie, is also looking for him. They have a nice little chase in a frankly awesome chase through the aqueduct in a truck that gets decapitated.
Such an awesome sequence. I loved it.
So good. And that puts John and Arnie together. They go off and do their thing. Arnie explains to John that it's a polymorph, introducing the audience also to the concept of what the T-1000 is.
Oh, so that chase scene is one of the great reasons that GTA 5 is a really fun game to play. Right. Because you can kind of do that entire scene because they have those, the drains?
The viaducts.
Which are really fun to drive
in. Yeah.
Sorry, I just realized like
no, absolutely.
When it happened, I was like, oh, that reminds me.
Absolutely, be like somewhere on YouTube, like that scene recreated in GTA 5. I guarantee it.
Oh, please, Seb, don't.
I'm just gonna type on my computer, and you guys can talk about Miles Dyson.
Not yet.
Soon, Seb.
Damn it! I was hoping I could segue accidentally into him.
Sarah Connor is talking with Dr. Silverman, who was the psychiatrist in the first one, and she's saying, "Look, I'm better now. I'm not talking about it. I haven't had an episode. Please, you have to let me see my son. I'm getting better and everything's okay." And he says, "Look, I think you're kind of faking it, so I'm going to lock you up for another 6 months." And she flips out and stages her big escape. At the same time, Arnie is just trying to get John and get the hell out of there. And he says, "Oh, shit, this thing's a polymorph. It's going to go after my mother if it's going to be going after people close to me. We have to break her out of the prison." That puts all them together in another awesome scene where the T-1000 does its thing through the jail bars. Great scene. Yeah. Still looks good today. 30 years old and it still looks good.
Mm, it's crazy, right?
You know? Oh, gives me shivers.
Makes sense that they spent so much money on it. It should look good.
Somebody has filmed this in GTA 5 and they've done it in like the director mode and it's not just like gameplay footage, like they've got like moving cameras and stuff.
Amazing.
And it's like really fucking good.
So now we have Arnie together with John convincing Sarah that he's a good guy now. She shouldn't be afraid of this thing that has given her nightmares for the last 10 years because it was trying to kill her over a series of evenings.
Just get over it.
It's fine. And they head south to Mexico where she has some contacts where John grew up and they have guns and equipment and they can sort of protect themselves.
John grew up in Mexico. Maybe he is a little bit like minority.
Yeah, that works.
He's still a white guy.
Yeah, he can still be Hispanic and white.
He still counts as a
minority. He's not Hispanic.
He could have a little bit of Hispanic in him.
Point of order.
Kyle Reese is white. Sarah Connor is white. Ergo, he is white. It doesn't matter, but he is white.
He refers to the gun guy in Mexico as his uncle. Oh, no, he refers to Arnie as his uncle, but Arnie's Austrian, which makes him an ethnic, which means he's a minority.
What do you mean he's ethnic?
He's Austrian.
He's white. That's not ethnic.
Arnie, he's Austrian. He's literally from Europe.
Oh, God.
He's like literally European.
Yeah.
Specifically from Austria.
What does that matter?
Because he calls him his uncle.
So, yeah, his Uncle Bob.
Yeah, so he's obviously got some Austrian in his family, meaning he's an ethnic, which really plays into Patrick being
circled back
a racist cop.
Confirmed.
Attacking this young minority.
Uncle Bob. Uncle Bob, whatever. Javier or whatever his name is. Whatever. Okay, Uncle Bob. Okay.
Yeah, confirm. Sure. I confirm still in canon that this Austrian man is your uncle.
Actually, was that guy in Tremors or does he just remind me of Michael Gross?
What was his name in this movie again?
I don't know. Find out for me, Seb. You're on the internet anyway.
There's a character called Enrique.
That'll be it. Enrique, not Javier. Enrique.
Was he in Tremors is your question? He's in The Usual Suspects.
I'm asking, does he, because he looks a bit like Michael Gross, who was in Tremors.
Oh, no, he's Castillo Guerrero.
Oh, there you go. And he wasn't in Tremors.
I'm going to look because there's seven Tremors
Please
films.
Please do. But it's when they're in Mexico and Sarah Connor gets all geared up. She's having a little think and having a little bit of a carve into the picnic table there. And that's when she decides, okay, if we're going to stop the Terminator, one way we could definitely do that is just by, you know, playing Skynet's game. It's sending Terminators back in time to get rid of John Connor before he's a threat. So let's get rid of Skynet before it's a threat. Mm-hmm. I'm back in time now. I have knowledge of the future. Let's go after Miles Dyson. She gets info from Arnie about who he is and what he's developing and what the timeline is. And that's when she goes, fuck it. I'm going to go in the middle of the night. I'm going to take my assault rifle. I'm going to take out Miles Dyson. Problem solved. No Skynet. We're done.
Yep.
Also,
and she fucks up. No,
technically, the kid fucked up.
It's a little bit of lark on Miles Dyson. Yeah, it's the universe having a bit of a sense of humor and going, let's see how much we can milk this for him. She takes the shot, misses because he's distracted by his kid at that exact moment, and he's alerted to
good
it.
For
and,
nothing.
Yeah. And she does break in and threaten him. He's off in a corner, cuddled with his kids, and she's kind of going, I'm not a killer, but killing you will save 3 billion lives and all this shit that's happened.
But he's got a kid.
But she can't pull the trigger, and Arnie and John make it there in time after they realize what's going on.
Oh.
They lay it on with Miles Dyson, who kind of takes it, and that's when he says, look, okay, if what you're saying is true, and I believe that it is, we thought we were doing something awesome, but if it's going to be horrible, I'll help you. I'll get you into the building. You don't have to kill me, but I can get rid of all the research and help you take it out. Yeah. Let's do that.
So Miles Dyson's played by Joe Morton.
Yes.
Which is a lovely actor. He also plays Silas Stone in the Justice League films, which is the father of Cyborg / the man that turns his son into Cyborg. So there you go. He's making Terminators in every franchise. Just one, though. Just the one.
Just the one.
Your other guy was not in any of the 17 Tremors films.
I think he just looks like Michael Gross.
I had to check. There's been so many. I'm like, you may have accidentally been in one.
No, Michael Gross, I remember from Family Ties, and I don't know why, but James Cameron always reminded me of him. Like, I think they look quite similar too. just like Stanley Tucci and Paul Giamatti look alike.
They're the same actor. There was a Tremors TV series in 2018.
What?
Nah.
Why would they need a TV series after 45 movies?
Wait, Kevin Bacon was in it?
I feel like they've told that story.
Anyway, they get back to Cyberdyne. The T-1000 is looking for them and you know manages to get to Miles Dyson somehow and overhears on the police radio that there's an incident going on at Cyberdyne, the Cyberdyne building. Hoofs it over there. Meanwhile, everybody, the team have infiltrated the place and are setting up you know charges and bombs and things all over the place. And the police come. Big raid happens. And they get taken out. Miles Dyson is shot up. Sarah Connor, you know, manages to make it off. And poor Miles is left there holding the detonator.
Mm-hmm.
Gets spotted by one of the cops and he goes, I don't know how long I can hold this. Oh, great scene. I'm not doing it any justice. And I don't mean to make fun of it. And that's when they realize, holy shit, this guy's going to blow the shit up. Let's get the fuck out of here. And then they do. Long story short, they blow up Cyberdyne and it's awesome. And the main guys get away and the T-1000 chases after them in an awesome helicopter scene. And then they're in the Steelworks and another awesome show down there. And it's a great film. Everybody has a great time.
You want to talk about not a great film?
Sure. Like,
sorry, 2020 came out Tremors, Shrieker Island. Still starring your boy Michael Gross. So that's fun. He kept there.
Where is the audience for these films?
The same audience that likes trash like Napoleon Dynamite, I guess, because John Head is in this film. I'm like, how?
Napoleon Dynamite is awesome.
It's trash.
I agree.
And I'm actually going to call this.
You know what else is also really good?
He upwardly fell into the Tremors franchise.
The cartoon series they did is also severely underrated.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Does only ran for like one season, but it's really, really good.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Well, you know, Seb, you have a pretty well-confirmed history of being wrong, so it's fine.
I actually really love Tremors 1. It's great.
It's fine.
No, it's great.
It's fine.
I don't know about the other six. That's so weird. Why are there so many? Why did we do the Terminator franchise when we could have done the Tremors franchise and cover the same amount of movies?
See what happens when you sit down and think about the schedule, Seb, instead of just shooting from the hip?
I'm going to shoot from the hip. Next year is the year of Tremors.
Anyway, Terminator's awesome.
We didn't finish awesome the movie, did we?
Yeah, we're done.
Miles Dyson just died.
No, we're at the Steelworks. We've already done it.
No. We're going to Miles Dyson chattering away before he dies. What? It's great.
No, we've done it, Seb.
The place blows up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They jump like a helicopter. I liked his chase, death. More fight. Dead.
His death was really well acted. It was interesting.
Seb, if you want to take part of the conversation, you're welcome to. At any time, when we're talking about movies, you can jump in and talk about the bits of the movie that you like.
The exact portion that you're discussing that we talked about approximately 2 minutes ago, you could have jumped in.
I was reading Tremors 7. Okay, I made this comment to you guys on our little group chat, but I'll say it here. I appreciate that they kill the bad guy by melting him down in the steel.
Mm.
And I still stand by the fact that if this film came out today, he would have just come out of that as some sort of gigantic magma version of himself.
Yeah.
And then they would have gone to some convoluted thing. It was like, nope, he's melted, the end. Yeah, because I do like that they tease you saying, oh, he can be killed by being frozen. It's the Blob. Do you guys get it? It's the movie The Blob. And then it's not The Blob. Well, it sort of this, is.
It's another, it's another monster fake out where it's dead, but it's not really dead.
But I like that it's like, oh, that makes so much sense when he is frozen. It didn't feel convoluted. And then when they do melt him, it's like, oh, okay, that also makes a lot of sense. Yeah. But yeah, like I said, I still stand by if this movie came out today, it would have just been him taking on a final form.
No, but there are consequences because after he's reformed, after being frozen, he starts to stick to anything he touches.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
And his mimicry is starting to play up.
Mm-hmm. I did like as well when he was being melted, when he actually died, how he was just like glitching through all the
going
things.
Going through all the forms. Yeah,
that was cool.
That was nice.
Like, literally life flashing before your eyes.
Exactly. Okay, are you guys done then? Would you like to move on to this? Is that what we're getting to?
Well, look, I could keep my Terminator philia going for a lot longer. But I think everybody's sick of hearing my voice and just how awesome Terminator is.
This is where that part of the
how awesome the Terminator and T2 are. Yep. That's it.
What's
and nothing came afterwards.
Next
they
week
popped it up in a museum and they never touched it again.
Next week is worse. in every possible way.
Yeah.
But that's a thing that we could say for every following movie. So let's keep
in
mind.
You sure could.
Next week's worse, but it gets worse.
That's right. It's like, what's his name from Office Space? Every single day is worse than the previous day. So every time you see me, it's the worst day of my life. Just like that's it. Every version of Terminator that you see brand new is the worst version of Terminator because they're all worse than the previous one.
That's the lesson here, folks. Things don't get better.
All right, well, let's roll into the verdicts then.
You've heard the good, you've heard the bad, a lot of opinions, a couple facts, it's verdict time.
Okay, so I'm going to score this one differently to how I normally score films. Normally it's, yeah, you recommend or you don't recommend, but I've got a points system going here. So we start off, every movie starts off with a 5 out of 10. You got to earn yourself to a 10 and you fail down to a 0, oh, yeah?
Okay, all right.
Okay, so immediately no dong, so a negative 5 stars. we have to drop down 10. But then we gain 10 stars because Miles Dyson's fantastic. And then we just get a couple more along the way to recommend. It's fine. It passes. that was just a convoluted gag for another dong reference. This movie's fantastic.
Why do you like the Miles Dyson character so much?
I just like that he's set up like you would hate this character because he's responsible for this and that. And then you get to him and he's like,
but he wasn't malicious. Yeah,
exactly. That's what I mean. Like, I like that he's like super reasonable. And I kind of hate that he gets killed in this story for, I mean, you could argue, yes, he is being a terrorist,
Seb. Yeah.
Oh, no, I meant like he created the monster, but he didn't actually create the monster, which is more freaking frustrating. He's just caught in all this bullshit time travel stuff. But I just like that he would normally be, in any other film, a point of contention. Like you'd have to butt up against this character and they do for half a scene and then it's something like, oh, no, I'll just join you. That's a good idea.
Yeah, don't kill me, but we can kill the project.
Yeah, absolutely. I also like the idea, like, I just hate my job. So the idea of going in there and just destroying it. Like he takes-
Are you kidding me? He loved his job.
No, but like, remember he's like, can I have that hammer just so I can blow up this one thing I've been working on? So, like there was a part of him that really liked it as well. I loved it. I would have kept him alive for other things because I liked his character, but it's fine for this film.
Sacrifices need to be made.
Well, ideally this film wouldn't have had a sequel for that to matter.
Yeah.
Well, that's not where we're at though. But no, I do recommend
this film. It's not the way the world works, Seb.
He died for nothing.
Yeah.
When your movie makes $500 million, I'm afraid there will be a sequel.
Unfortunately. Well, T2 for what it is an excellent action film. Even standalone, it would have been great. And I think a lot of people... did both of you see it before The Terminator?
Yeah, I think I did.
Okay. I think a lot of people were introduced to The Terminator franchise through this movie.
Mm.
And that certainly makes sense. It's, you know...
Well, it is very highly regarded. Like, you like look up, like, even on IMDb, like, if you just sort of scroll through reviews, it's, like, mostly, like, tens, like, calling it the best action movie ever.
Oh, yeah, and that it is. It holds up remarkably well. And
very much
as
so.
I say, it's a 30-year-old film now, and it's just fantastic to watch.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, when you're flipping, most of your big set pieces are cars taking bumps, explosions and guns. It's going to look good now because that shit looked good then.
Yeah.
And they're just but so lucky but by the fact of all like the, is it T-1000?
Yeah.
All those liquid metal effects have held up a lot better than they should have considering weren't practical. Like the reason
they spent a lot of money on them.
Yeah. The reason the thing holds up is because it's all practical. So it looks exactly the same as it did. Whether you think it looks fake or not, it looks the same.
And it's a good story.
Oh, of course.
It keeps you invested and going, okay, what's going to happen next? I really care about these characters because I've gotten to know them. I care about them.
Is it this film that... Was this before or after The Abyss? Because I remember there being some sort of link between
the Abyss
the liquid metal
the
effects
yeah.
Were taken from The Abyss in terms... Because it's both James Cameron.
Quite possibly.
From the moving water effects. When you look at The Abyss and see like the fucking pipelines of water and shit shoot through. They use the same thing, but they silvered it.
The Abyss is what Cameron made after Aliens, which was 86.
Mm. Yeah. I'll see if you continue with the recommendations. I'll see if I can find this part about The Abyss because there's a big tight link there between the water effects.
Absolute recommend. One big thumbs up from me.
Yep. I would be quite the same. I think it's easily probably one of my favorite like action kind of movies and I'm not really big on them either. Like action's probably not my favorite genre of film, but like, a movie like this, like you can't not love it. Like it's just so fun and enjoyable. Because like I said, it's long. Like the version I watched was like the extended cut. So it was like 2 hours, 40 minutes. But like it just flew by because it's such a fun, great film.
Oh yeah.
I found
big,
my thing.
Big recommend.
Good. Sorry. Effectively, the short version is he wanted to do liquid metal in the first one, was going to do it with claymation, was like, no, it looks terrible, didn't do it. But then after doing the from doing The Abyss and then onwards for this film, he was like, oh, no, we've done water effects pretty well. I reckon we can do it. Yeah. So it was literally, yeah, just because he had done something very similar prior. But this movie, wait, did Terminator come out before The Abyss?
Yeah, Terminator's 84.
Oh, there you go.
Right, Terminator, which led to Aliens. And then he made The Abyss after that.
Right. And The Abyss stars Ed Harris, so you know it's good.
Mm-hmm. Ed Harris and other women.
And Ed Harris.
Starring Ed Harris and others.
You guys know Ed Harris. He's the bad guy from Star Trek Into the Darkness.
Yay.
Into what? Darkness.
No. Is he?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. I can't. Is he? I can neither confirm Ed Harris? Nor deny.
No.
Now I'm concerned.
Not in Into Darkness, no.
Is Ed Harris not from Robocop?
No, not from Robocop.
Oh, I'm picking up...
Peter Weller?
Peter Weller. Yeah, that was a weird...
You're very bad at this, Seb.
Ed Harris is Truman. No, not Truman. He's Christoph.
Christoph.
Ah, yep.
Okay, yeah. He's not the bad guy.
Never mind.
Shit.
What a great foot to end this episode on. Seb being wrong.
Yeah.
Find us on Instagram at Second Take Podcast, or if you live in the future, you can tweet us at Second Take TNC.
You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Second Take. You can also follow me on Twitter if you like at JordanMSPP.
You can follow me on Twitter where I research things before I say them. It's at Bastian_James. That's
do
not
you
true.
Though?
No.
I feel like you just get into arguments with
people.
Yeah.
I don't want to. Like when I post my opinion, it's not an invitation for you to post your opinion. You can tweet your own opinion on your Twitter. Go to it over there. Our website is still secondtakepodcast.com. It still exists. Send us an email at secondtakepodcast@gmail.com. If there's any films, for example, like or franchises that you're interested in for next year, assuming that cinemas reopen, the earlier you shoot them through, the more that we can take them into consideration when actually putting together our schedule. But in saying that, you know, this is, who knows? I got no further opinions on that. Is that the end? Have I done all my social? No, patreon.com/secondtake. I feel like I've never done this before.
It might be handy if you took a page out of Joe Biden's book and just wrote stuff down to read off.
But I would do the Trump thing and never read the script.
Because you might forget what you're supposed to be talking about. So you just have the cue there.
It would be good.
Trump is fine. He can forget what he's talking about, but he's so charismatic. He just talks about the thing that's most important at the time. He reads the audience.
Is he charismatic though?
Yeah.
I think yeah. he's, I don't think he is.
No, he totally is.
He's got the speech patterns of somebody in a psych ward. I don't know if it's charisma
as much as it is just needing to watch the train wreck.
Yeah.
Fine, but for whatever reason, you keep watching.
Yeah, that's it.
You watch Sleepy Joe and you're ready for
it. I think there's a difference between sounding confident and being engaging with how you're speaking. Like he sounds like he knows what he's talking about in a sense that he's confident about it, but I don't think there's the actual structure of what he's saying.
Save it for a variety hour. This is a movie review show, not a political commentary show.
Fine.
It's not even a speech review show.
Can we possibly
exist?
Specifically just
Let's
review.
Do one, a debater's corner.
We'll just review Home Alone 2 and that way I can talk about it.
Perfect segue, Sam.
All right, I'm going to press the outro music, but which outro music will I press?
Ours. We spent money on it, Seb.
But.
Nope. It's too late. It's too late. I pressed the wrong one. It's not verdict time. I was going to press Goodbye Horses and I pressed that by accident.
Just to reiterate my verdict, too good.
Still good. Most podcasts would go back and edit that one out, not this one. Second Take Podcast is recorded within the Moreton Bay region of Queensland, Australia, and acknowledges this region's original owners, namely the Jinnabara, Cubby Cubby, and Yugara people. Second Take Podcast respectfully acknowledges the traditional custodians of these lands, and we pay our respects to elders past, present, and emerging, for they hold the memories, the traditions, the cultures, and hopes of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.